Hello, shorts. Okay, let's get into this. Christian Post. Yeah, I'm not even going to read the article. It doesn't matter. This is about abortion. Anyone who has been following my channel for a while knows that I actually don't like talking about abortion. I really don't. But it's going to get some conversation this year, election year. Roe was dashed. Replaced with Dobbs, and things have changed significantly in the country. This is one of the key issues that voters will be taking into account at the polls. In fact, when you hear the term single issue voter, more often than not, that single issue is abortion. So the reason it's in the news and in the Christian news is that Trump, the, you know, choice for real Christians, you know, boots on the ground, butts in the pews, Christians, he came out with his official statement policies on abortion, his full thoughts on that. I'm not going to read all of that. I will reduce it in the most reductionist way possible, but I still think it's correct. His belief is that abortion is about states' rights. Women don't get to choose. Federal government doesn't get to choose. The states get to choose. And if a state wants an extreme abortion law, great. If a state wants abortion laws the way they were under Roe, great. It's a states' right kind of thing. And to be fair, this is a very traditional Republican point of view when you don't add the Christian nationalist part of it. In it, you know, Republicans very much by their nature are a party of states' rights versus federal rights. So that part I actually don't have a problem with from a political sense. No, I'm not a Republican, and I actually think that states should not have the right to mandate certain things or regulate certain things. It's bigger than the states. So it's, you know, we all understand that states shouldn't be in control of human rights. If we call it a human right, it's for all of the humans under that jurisdiction. And as Americans, we can only define human rights for Americans. And so if it's a human right in America, it should be that human right for everyone in America, not just everyone in a particular state. So anyway, this is getting way more into political philosophy than I wanted to. This is about abortion. And I guess I'm going far afield because I don't like talking about abortion. I don't want to talk about it now. Back when I was much, much younger, I wrote a paper called No Abortions, No Exceptions. And the paper really follows the idea of the title, so there's no need of talking about it. I just want to resurrect some of those ideas because the thing that really has gotten Christians upset with Trump, not upset enough to not vote for him, but upset right now with Trump, is because Trump specifically said that he does allow exceptions to abortion. And the exceptions are the traditional exceptions often raised for rape and incest. So Trump is officially for abortion in the cases of rape and incest. And in those cases, no one is talking about time limits, you know, 6 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever. All right. So here's the problem with that. If your laws on abortion have exceptions, then you don't really care about abortion. You don't. All of the righteous pulpit pounding that you say about abortion just goes out the window. You are a hypocrite. You don't have an argument anymore. Let's examine. By the way, rape and incest, they both fit under the category of non-consensual sex. Because if you are talking about incest, with a minor, that is by legal definition non-consensual. Now, if we're talking about incest, you know, a 30-year-old woman and a 52-year-old father, that's a different matter. I don't even think that's illegal. So, whether it is or not, it's a very different matter. So, does that woman have a right to abortion, even if she, chose to have the sex, very consensual, you know, their regular sexual partners? Oh, but, she didn't mean to get pregnant. Whatever birth control means failed. Oh, okay, I think I'll get an abortion. Well, it's incest. Is that what that law is supposed to cover? In fact, I would think, if you really think that incest is that icky, states would mandate abortions in such cases. The problem with exceptions, let me keep myself on track. What we're talking about is emotional distress. A woman who is raped and gets pregnant from that rape is suffering a certain kind of emotional distress that we can all kind of sort of understand. I would say that no one can understand it who has not been in that situation. But we can understand it intellectually enough. We can see the point, right? It's about emotional distress. It's not about the baby. You know, if you think that the baby is human from conception, then it's still a human. And if you think that abortion is murder, it's still murder. So it doesn't really matter how the woman got pregnant. That's not the baby's problem. It's not the baby's fault. The baby is still a precious little human. And to say, well, it's okay to murder the baby if it came about in ways that the woman didn't really want, or decided later that she didn't want. It would be too hard to raise that baby because of the circumstance of emotional distress. So if you're making that exception for rape, then you have to make that exception for a lot of things. Emotional distress. I was 16 and I didn't know any better. I was following my hormones, partying, took some drugs, knew that sex was a possibility, wasn't really thinking about it, but, no claims of rape or anything like that, I realized 3 weeks later, oh, I'm pregnant. And I don't want to live my life under the weight of this pregnancy at 16. The distress that this would cause is more than anyone should have to bear. And so you say, yeah, I want an abortion due to emotional distress. And then the state says, no, because you weren't raped. You were just stupid. See, you see the difference? Because I don't see the difference. Incest, once again, it's one of those words that raises a certain ick factor. And we're talking about, we're usually thinking about incest of minors. All right, that's all kinds of criminal anyway. But let's just go there, a minor, incest with a minor, which is the legal equivalent of rape. I'm so sorry for this minor, but if I believe that abortion is murdering a human being, I could not approve of murdering the human being because the host is a minor. You see, you have to ask yourself, if you believe in abortion, what are the circumstances where you say murder is okay? You can't. That's your moral high ground that you are ceding because you see situations where emotional distress outweighs the rights of a baby to live. That's what you're saying. And once again, when I pose the situation of adult incest, turning into pregnancy. And it's not like the woman is denying that it was consensual. She just doesn't want a baby. Does she get to have it under the grounds of incest? You see, there is no moral high ground. If you cede any exceptions, you've ceded all of the high ground. What about for the life of the mother? You know, this carrying this baby to term, the baby will almost certainly live, but the mother will almost certainly die. And sometimes that is not known until very late in abortion. You know, this mother cannot have this baby. Yeah, the baby is 9 months, but it would kill the mother to have this baby. Okay. Abortion is okay then? Really? Because then what you're doing is picking and choosing. You are playing God. You are deciding which one lives and which one dies. Does the baby live or does the mother live? Who gets to decide that? If God is the arbiter of life and death, and God is the one that imbued that fetus with a soul during conception, you have no right to kill it because it endangers the mother's life. That's not in your hands. The baby's not a criminal. So why do you get to choose? Why do you get to murder the baby? If the mother dies, that's God's will that the mother dies. Okay, if one of them's going to die, that's God's will that one of them's going to die. What if both are going to die? You see, that doesn't change the equation for me. Because God is the one who granted the pregnancy in the first place. God is the one who put two lives together. God is the one who knew that doing that would kill both. But now you're playing God, and you're deciding, well, no, one of them should live. And it's not the innocent baby. Yeah. So, okay. Exceptions. I think most sane people agree that there should be exceptions. And all I'm saying is if you believe that there should be exceptions, then you've got no real argument against abortion. The only thing we're arguing at that point is who gets to determine when it's okay, especially on these grounds of emotional trauma. Who gets to determine what emotional trauma rises to the level of abortion? Why should it be the state? You see, what Republicans want is for the state leaders to be able to determine a mother's emotional trauma. They say, if this happens, then we approve emotional trauma is good enough and you can murder your baby. But if you have emotional trauma that falls outside of the things that we say, then you can't murder your baby. It's just a matter of who is getting to choose at that point. It's not about one group not thinking it's okay to kill a quote-unquote baby. If you have exceptions to abortions, then you all believe it's okay to kill a baby. you just want to be the arbiters of when. So I say, if we're there, then the mother, you know, the one whose body that we're talking about, the one whose emotional distress that we're talking about, the one whose life and future that we're talking about, that's the one who should get to decide. And that is the only difference, really, on the subject of abortion between a liberal and a conservative. That's it. It's who gets to choose. So Trump says, states' rights, states get to choose. And what he should do is just move that down a couple of levels to where it belongs. Woman gets to choose. We're so close to already being there, right? There's no moral high ground when it comes to exceptions to abortions. You have just ceded the argument. You've lost the whole thing. Do you think I'm wrong? You know what to do. skepticsandseekers.squarespace.com. Come at me, bro. Log into your Discuss account and discuss away. Send me an email, skepticsandseekers@gmail.com. Until next time, I'll see you in the comments. And in the meantime, I'm out.